we just keep doing. We just keep doing what we're doing, what God told us to do, you know. And we continue that until God tells us something different or does something different, and then we see there's a turn there. But it's because of something he showed us, something that happened. So that's part of waiting on the Lord, that he will show us something different. But we're actively walking with him in what he's already told us. Amen? Y'all with me? I mean, I think this is power. We want perfect peace, but we don't have a clue what it means. And I think right here he's telling us how we have it, how we have it. Now, how do we have perfect peace? We walk in the truth God has already revealed to us. We walk in the truth God has already revealed to us. Now, here's the third thing I want you to write down. This is this. By being obedient to God in the moment, we are trusting God for the future. By being obedient to God in the moment. What do I do now? I can press anybody here, and I bet you know what to do right now. Our problem is we think, well, what about tomorrow? What about 6 months? Well, no. What do you do today? What is the moment? What is the next step? You know, some of the ladies are going, oh, my next step is fix dinner. Okay, do it. Now, I'm not trying to be a little facetious. Well, I am being a little facetious. But the point of it is, you know the next step, okay? And that next step and being obedient to what you do in that next step, we're trusting God for the future. I talked to this one lady one time, and she's really prophetic in her way about, really had a nice walk with the Lord, and she had a five children, I believe, from like 16 to about six, like that. And she had a good perspective on the things of the Lord. And she said, I just feel, with all the things of the kids, and I don't know, I just feel like I'm not doing the things I should for the Lord. And think about that. And I said, I'm going to encourage you in something, that by taking care of your children and seeing they should be where they should be, you're actively doing what God has told you to do. And that's how you wait for the Lord, by actively doing what God has told you to do. And you're not going to miss anything. You're not going to miss one thing. Because at the right time, he's going to move. See? So she knew what to do. She was just thought, well, I don't know if I should do this. I'm missing that and love the kids. But I'm... no. Her actively waiting on the Lord was to actively do what was put before her. And in that one point, God was going to move and was going to change her situation, that she was going to build on the foundation that she was already in and actively waiting for the Lord. Does that make sense? So again, this word right. Being obedient to God in the moment, we're trusting God for the future. For the future. Now, the future really gets us wrapped around the axle. So how do we be obedient in the moment? We say, I don't know how this moment has anything to do with my future. But because it's you and it's your moment, before God, it has something to do with your future that you don't even know about. Be obedient to God in the moment. Now again, what are we looking at? God says, I want you in perfect peace. I want you with your five children. Be in perfect peace. This is where God has you, and he's building into you what he's going to do in the future. So your obedience in the moment is trusting God for the future. Therefore, if we do that, we have present and continued perfect peace. Five kids working, perfect peace. Job that I don't particularly like, I'm doing what I can. Perfect peace, because I know God's taking care of it, but by actively doing what I'm in right now, I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm actively waiting for the Lord and doing what God has told me right now, and he's working all the other puzzle pieces together, plus building me up as an individual and teaching me. I mean, God's kind of got this thing moving. You see what I'm saying? Because we don't see everything, we start asking all sorts of questions, fretting, confessing, and oh, we're all going to die, you know. That's what Hezekiah did. And really is, Hezekiah, there was like 200,000 soldiers around him. You know, I mean, he had a better shot of dying than we did. I mean, he's like, no, this is really, we're not going to be able to make it through that. And God, that's what God says. Listen, I keep in perfect peace him whose mind stayed on me. But there's 200,000. I mean, it's hard to keep focused on you. There's a mass of folks out there. See? But that's his answer. That's God's answer. And he wipes the arm. He didn't tell Hezekiah. They just went, gosh, they're gone. That's cool. See, he never let him know. Because the whole point was to trust what God said. See, so it hasn't changed for us today at all. The whole point is, do we trust God? Amen? How about I repeat those three things I want you to write down, okay? By doing what we know, we are actively waiting on the Lord. By doing what we know, we are actively waiting on the Lord. Number two, we don't do anything different until God tells us something different or does something different. Third, being obedient to God in the moment, we're trusting God for the future. There you go. And if you got those three things down, you're just walking in perfect peace. Walking in perfect peace. And it's like, did he change any circumstances? No, he changed us to look to him with a reality that he can do something. Our mind is not on the 200,000 soldiers surrounding us, but him who has control over all things. Where's your mind? Where's our mind? So, I love going through the scriptures, because then the scripture added the next verse, okay? Well, it's not the next, but it's a couple down. So, but he's communicating what's going on, and like with Hezekiah, God wasn't so worried about 200,000 soldiers or 100,000 were over there, because he knew I got them. You know, that's not an issue. What God's concern was for Hezekiah. What God's concern was for the people of Israel. He wanted them to trust him. I got this, but I want you to trust me. I keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on me. You got to stay on me. Then I'll take care of it. So it hadn't changed. Hasn't changed. And so we have this. So he's telling us something we can't see, and he's telling us something that's going to happen. But we kind of, if you will, have the inside scoop. Like Hezekiah, he's getting the inside scoop. The 100,000 soldiers around Jerusalem, they didn't get the scoop. They didn't know what's going on. But he tells Hezekiah. See, so we know they don't know. And it's Isaiah 26:11. Oh Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. See, what it is, and it's like a battle. Your hand's lifted up with a sword, and you're fixing to take their head off. That's the truth of it. He said, oh Lord, your hand is lifted. And that's what that means. You know, he's not praising Jesus. No, his hand is lifted up like a sword. See, and he said, oh Lord, said, your hand is lifted up. They don't see it. They didn't see it. That hand is lifted up means it's going to fall. It means something's going to happen. It means something's going to happen quick. And God is behind it, and is going to take care of the whole issue. And there should be a little fear and trembling. Oh, God, they don't even see this. No, they don't see it. But you do. And that's the reason you need your mind stayed on me. Because my hand's lifted up. Think about your situation, anything you're in, and it's all the problems, and God's looking at it, and his hand's lifted up. He's fixed to move, and he's fixed to take care of it. Well, what do? He says, keep your mind stayed on me, because I'm fixing to move. Fixing to move. See, that's what it's saying. Oh, man, that gives me chills, and I read that. You know, it's like, oh, Lord. No, he's fixing to move. And you read the thing in Hezekiah, and again, I can't remember how many soldiers, you know, 100,000, 50,000, I mean, they had them locked in. He killed them in one night. God killed them all in one night. Because the soldiers never were the problem. The only problem was Hezekiah. The only problem was Hezekiah. I keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on me. Now, you get that down, I'll take care of the problem. Because my hand's lifted up, I'm going to deal with it. Amen? Think of your own problem, your own situation, and that's where it is. They go, they don't know it. I want them all to be scared and know God's come. No, they think they got this thing won. We're the only ones that know. And that, with that confidence, we stay steady with our mind stayed on God. Amen? I mean, see the principle? Fascinating. So now we'll come back. Let's go back right to where we started, okay? Isaiah 26:3. Have perfect peace because we trust in the Lord and are assured, we are assured that He is going to move powerfully. See, it's tied together. We are assured God's going to move in this situation. And our mind is stayed on Him, and that's why we're assured, okay? Because we trust in Him. See, and that's all God's doing. You think God said, man, this is fun being God and have 100,000 Assyrians running around and kill them all. You know, it's just a blast being God. It has nothing to do with Him and has everything to do with Hezekiah. Your problems have nothing to do with the army around you. It has everything to do with your heart and your view of God. Period. Because the problem's not a problem to God. I mean, we're kind of the problem for God, okay? He said, I want your heart stayed upon me. I'll take this, see? Now, so here we have this verse again. You keep, and now let's read it slowly and look what he's saying. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, laid hold to you. Because, now I want you to look at that word, because that word is really highlighted in the Hebrew. It is there. A lot of times you get pronouns or something like that, and they kind of have to add them. And Hebrew is a difficult language. And some of the conjunctions you have to make sense of it, you know, and a lot of study goes into it. But this word because is there, and it really highlights, and it's there for a reason, okay, that you see God meant a point there. So you keep in perfect peace Him whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Why does God keep in perfect peace He whose mind stayed? I'm going to ask, why does God keep in perfect peace Him whose mind is stayed on Him? Why? Because huge word. Because God said, and this is why I do it. Because, now read the rest of the verse. Read the rest of the verse. Because He trusts in you. God goes, I keep you in perfect peace because you trusted in me. What I want you to do is trust in me. And I'll keep you in perfect peace because you trust in me. And that's what I want. I want you to trust in me. So you read together in that because just overwhelms you. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, God, because he trusts in you, God. And God goes, what I wanted all the time. We got this. We're moving on. The problem never was the Assyrians. Your problem is not the problem. Your problem is not the problem. God said, no, have your mind stayed upon me. Because I'll give you perfect peace because you trusted in me. Can you imagine trust God. And God is like that. I'm just begging you. It's like God and all his men. I'm just begging you, trust me. Please trust me. That's what God's doing. Isn't that a kind of a different view than people look at religion, a different view people look at the Bible? That God is like almost begging us to trust him so he can work and do what he can. Because he wants to do it. He wants to do it. And that's, God bless our, that's where James goes, oh, rejoice in your trials. Because God is just begging you to trust him. That's what it means. That's how it all fits together. So it's a fascinating thing. Now, so we look at this and go through a few more here. So we see this significant word, because, trust in God. Now we have this Old Testament instruction. I want to jump to some New Testament understanding of peace. Okay, here's some New Testament understanding. And we'll just kind of flow through this. And we're going to see and understand how God is using this verse. And it hasn't changed in all these years. But look again, if you look in Philippians 4:7. Now, what we have in Philippians 4:7, we have that perfect peace guards us. Perfect peace guards us. All of a sudden, we're okay. Somebody goes, there's 100,000 Assyrians around you. You go, I'm okay. You don't know what's happening all around you. You go, I'm okay. See, so what the thing with our peace before God, it guides us to have perfect peace in the situation, and we're not concerned about it. Now, this is connected to God, but look here, Philippians 4:7. Great. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So there's 100,000 Assyrians around you. And I have a peace that passes understanding. You better have a peace of understanding, because this ain't going to work out, buddy. Your eyes are not open. See, because the peace we have is beyond understanding. Because we have a trust in God. Perfect peace guards us. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard. Now, that interesting, that word guard is a military term. Like sentries walking around guarding. It literally is used as a military term. So, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. It never was 100,000 Syrians. It was Hezekiah's heart and his mind. And then Hezekiah gave his heart and mind. Done with those Assyrians. They're out of here. They never were a problem in the first place. Problem was Hezekiah's heart and his mind. So in our situation and all the Assyrians that surround us, the problem is our what? Heart and our mind. Not a problem. It's our heart and our mind. And God goes, oh, if you stay your mind on me, because you do that, I give you peace because you trust me. Amen? I mean, that is, whoa. Very few times I preach and get chills. That gives me chills. Now, also, the peace, perfect peace, guides us. We have perfect peace. Now, we have perfect peace. Why? Because of God. We have our mind stayed on him. Colossians 3:15, and we've gone over this one before. Great. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that word rule means arbitrate or umpire, like umpire. It calls. Let the peace of God call strikes and balls. All right? That's what it does. Foul balls. Call it, let the peace of God. So the peace of God is arbitrating what God's doing and what we should do. So we can tell by the peace in our trusting him how he wants us to go. He guides us. Arbitrate. So if to arbitrate, you got to have two possibilities to arbitrate something. You got this one or this one? Let the peace of God arbitrate. Oh, God. So he's telling us how to walk in this. You know, I go back to that verse. Oh, Lord, we're walking in your laws as we walk in your ways. Okay, we wait for you. We're moving and doing what you say. And as we do that, we wait for you, and you're telling us different things. So we look at that. So we'll just wrap it up with this. There's a lot more we could go to. But perfect peace. Now, this is a killer. I say this is a killer. And because, you know, I struggle with it. But perfect peace means harmony with God. See, that's what perfect, we're in harmony with God. God's got this. You know, 100,000 Syrians. I'm good. God's got this. What? We're in harmony with God. Oh, the Babylonians come. Listen, you better give up. This is not going to turn out well. Okay, fine. I give up then. I'm in harmony with God. See, so perfect peace means we're in harmony with God. What does it mean if we don't have peace? We're not in harmony with God. Can you see Hezekiah? There's 100,000 soldiers. Oh, God. See, he's not in harmony with God. You know, did he just make it up? You know, he just had a bad day. No, he's got 100,000 Assyrians. He's like, there's no harmony. There's no harmony. And the problem was, not 100,000 Assyrians, the problem is there's no harmony with God. And so when Hezekiah put the letter, he said, look what they said to you, which is, that shows some perspective on his part. And then God said, don't worry about it. I'm telling you that. And then there's harmony with God. We're okay. We're okay. Why? Because we know that God is going to move the things he's already showed us. So we're at harmony with God. So anytime that you're not at peace, and I mean this is internal, don't tell your spouse this. Don't tell your spouse this. You're not in harmony with God. Because you won't be in harmony either. I mean, it's just, that doesn't work. Don't do that. But individually, if you go before the Lord and there's no peace, you say, okay, wait a minute. That means I'm not in harmony with God. And so the first thing to do is get in harmony with God so God can guide you and protect you. Because that's the purpose of the problem. Isn't that fascinating? So to obtain this harmony, and this is important, this is not just positive thinking or anything like that. To obtain harmony with God, the only way we attain harmony with God is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Now look here, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, we are justified. Okay? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in harmony. Jesus brought us in harmony. That's the reason the world, don't tell people in the world this. Like they're saying, there's 100,000 Syrians, what's going to happen? You're probably going to die. They don't look good. Because the only way it's going to work out, if you're in harmony with Jesus and he's telling you what to do, don't leave Jesus out of the equation or this is a bunch of nonsense. Nonsense. The only reason it's not nonsense is because we have harmony to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. He gave us peace. He gave us harmony. So, and it says right here, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? You have peace with God. How? That's not the whole sentence. You have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in harmony. We're in harmony. Now he says, now walk in the peace. In fact, the Bible actually says that. Walk in the peace you received. See? And so he's working with us. And isn't it, it's funny. Sometimes I love to watch these athletes and they encourage one another, you know, and they find, okay, let's get in here. And the ability, especially professional athletes, is so high. And so they'll talk, and if you hear it all, this is a head game. This is a head game. Okay, get your head right. This is a head game. This is a head, because they know all they got to do is get their head right and they can do anything, you know. But, professionals say, don't let them get in your head. Don't let them get in your head. So they understand that physically, these guys have done everything they do. They can do it. So don't let them get in your head. And a lot of times, the win or loss, especially with professional athletes, is the head game. And the head game. See? Well, what God is telling us, Christians, he says, it's a head game. It's a head game. The issue, you got the Holy Spirit, you got Jesus in you, you got everything Jesus had. You got everything you need. It's a head game. And Satan, by the way, Satan can't touch the people of God. He cannot touch the Bible's real clear. He can't touch them. But what is one of Jesus, what is one of Satan's attributes? He's a liar. He gets in our head. See, he just lies. He don't do anything. It's a head game. Don't let him get in your head. It's a head game. And so Christianity is a head game. Do you think God did, okay, we'll figure this thing out and God will do better. You know, oh, we'll figure this thing out and Jesus will do better. I'll study all this time and God can figure this out. Oh, if I do this and then God can work this. God goes, I got this. And like Hezekiah comes out, there's 100,000 Syrians. But then away, and God's going, it's a head game. I got this. See, I give perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. It never was 100,000 Syrians. I had to use 100,000 Syrians so that you'd get your mind stayed on me. And because did, I'll give you perfect peace because you trusted in me. Okay. Syrian's done, and what God intended was the relationship with him. Nothing has changed today. Every one of you are in a head game. You are in a head game. You're not in an ability game. You're not in a power game. You're not in a wisdom game. You're in a head game. Who rules? The world is telling you, and it's going south and going nuts, you know. You think, God, I don't know how you're going to work this out. I mean, we're going south. Everybody's going crazy. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do that. It's like, no, he's got this. It's a head game. All that stuff that's coming at us in the church, like that, it's a head game, trying to get in our head. So we win. The Bible tells us, we win. We got this. We win. It's not, by the way, it's not even close. It's not even close. Like neck and no, I mean this is a wipeout win. This is like 80 to nothing. I mean we do a big time stomp, all right? But in the meantime, it's a head game. And we fall victim to the head. And so God says, study the word to show you approve. Why? Because it's a head game. I want you to get your what I'm saying in your head. Okay. It didn't shut everybody else up, but you understand it's a head game and you just stand strong. And the solution is to have your mind stayed upon Him. And because, and God goes, and that's what He says, and because you have your mind stayed upon Me, that means you trust in Me, I give you perfect peace. So, amen. So I mean, we should just be feeling real good. It's like, I'll stop right here. But the last couple of nights, it's like, oh, I can't sleep. And I hadn't been asleep, and it's just like, oh, this is it. Just stuff going through my mind. And so I'm doing this message. I'm doing this message. And I'm thinking, God, what's the issue? Son of a gun. Wow, it's a head game, you know? And I was losing the head game. So I just, okay, man, slept like a baby last night. Okay, nothing changed, but you see what I'm saying? It's a head game. By the way, you never solve anything by losing sleep. You never do. You just feel rotten the next day. All right. Therefore, if it's a head game, you know, if we want peace, we have to go to the giver of peace. Go to the peace giver. Look here, 2 Corinthians 5:21. To get peace, you got to go to the peace giver. Okay, this doesn't work outside, in reality, outside. Okay, it works within the church. See, God made him who knew no sin to be sin. God made him who knew no sin to be sin, be our sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We're just right as God and in perfect peace. If we have our minds stayed upon him. But let me tell you, let me tell you my truth. No. I don't want somebody, you know, building the jet airplane for me to fly in out of their truth. I'd like some proven truth and some drawings and a little history on it. But my truth thinks that you don't need that. You fly in it. You see what I'm saying? Don't fall into that stuff. Anyway, howdy, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. And just, you know, as we come out here, you want imperfect peace. I mean, it's not just peace. It's perfect peace. And perfect peace means we're at harmony. We're in harmony with God through Jesus Christ. We don't worry. Because God has got this. We don't worry. He's going to take care of it. And his biggest issue, he just wants us to have our mind fixed upon him. That's all he wants, fixed upon him. And he goes, because we have our mind fixed upon him, it's because we trust him. And he says, I give you perfect peace. And we get the perfect peace, by the way, before the problem's solved. You have to have the perfect peace before the problem's solved. Because it's God, and it's a trust, and it's a trust in him. Oh, God wants us so bad just to trust him. We thank you, dear Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.